I'll give it a try.
No. Try not. Do. Or do not. There is no try.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Podnuts Pro. I am your host, Marvin B., and we have another lovely show that I'm going to bring to you tonight from Fort Lauderdale. Our show tonight is brought to you by Freedom Voice, the voice of small business, 100% channel focused. And ladies and gentlemen, I am going to have a guest on a little bit later that you know and love. And of course, when you hear his name, you'll probably know what we're going to be talking about. I am going to be having Bradford Torrey with TTCS Computer Services. No, I'm not going to edit that out. He will slap me on the hand later. But Bradford Torrey from TTCS Computer Services out there in California. He is way on the West Coast. Still has sunlight going on in his backyard while mine is setting and getting into the Florida evening here. So before I bring him on, let me do my usual housekeeping. And the first thing I want to make sure I remind everyone is we will be having the 2019 TechCon Unplugged this September 20th through the 22nd in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Tickets are still available. As far as I know, I haven't talked to the founders of the conference yet. So as far as I'm concerned, if you head over to the website, techconunplugged.com, as long as you can click on the register today button, you can still get a ticket. $199 gets you all meals and snacks at the event, dinner at Dave & Buster's. I think they're going to give away a game card for you to play at least one game for free. And of course, you're going to have all of the content that we'll be providing. We've got some great sponsors and vendors that'll be bringing content. So you won't just be listening to us podcasters as you always do. There's going to be some great one-on-one tech time available, and it's going to be a fantastic weekend. So head over to TechCon Unplugged and sign up for that. And as per usual, I am keeping the link to the GoFundMe page for Eric Ardini's family that we are still going to support, even though Eric was diagnosed in February with cancer. He lost his battle shortly thereafter. We are still supporting his family, helping them pay whatever bills they had. So head over to GoFundMe, look up Eric Ardini, and his name is spelled A-R-D-U-I-N-I. And if you can spare some change, please do so and support him. Listen, folks, if you're listening to this podcast and you have been a part of the Podnuts community for some time, you know the name Eric Ardini, you know what a mentor he was to a lot of us. One of the forefathers of the Podnuts podcasting community, always willing to help everybody, not just, you know, in the Podnuts community, also in his own community where he actually served and helped that community out a lot. So head over to the GoFundMe page and take care of that. I do want to acknowledge, let me see here, and I'm doing this on the fly, so don't yell at me for not editing this out, but I do want to acknowledge a couple of emails about the last show. People have liked it, and I guess the holy crap was a big hit. I will try not to do that again, folks, if you have not yet gone and listened to the Angry Tech Story, please go ahead and do that from the last episode. 211. That's all I'm going to say about that, because sorry for cursing. Anyway, let's see. I don't have any other new emails outside of that, so I am going to go ahead and do my little commercial bit, and then we'll bring Bradford out of the green room. And as I mentioned, folks, Freedom Voice is our sponsor tonight. And as many of you know, I've talked about it for years. I resisted selling phone systems, especially VoIP systems. And I was always under the assumption that my job is networking. I will only do networking. I will let the phone guy do the phone stuff. But of course, VoIP technology invaded my network as it has many of yours. So after hearing about Freedom Voice from so many people, I warmed up to it. And after spending that conference in Chicago last year, heard more about the Freedom Voice program, the awesome support, the reliable service, and I decided to take the plunge. So fast forward, I'm now using Freedom Voice here in my business. I've deployed 3 companies that I have with over 50 phones. I've got another one coming up here that is going to be 20 plus phones. So I am happy I made the decision. So of course, folks, if I can do it, you can do it. With Freedom Voice backing you up, it's easy to sell, support, and manage. And it's a nice little increase to my monthly recurring revenue. So I think you guys will like that. So my customers appreciate saving money. They love the scalability. And you can go and check Freedom Voice out. What you really want to do is call them. And you can call this number, 877-7-GO-NUTS. That is a direct number to them. It's going to let them know that you heard about them on the PodNuts Pro show. Again, that's 877-7-GO-NUTS. And NUTS is spelled N-U-T-Z. If you need the numbers because you don't want to write out the name, it's 877-746-6889. All right, enough of that. And let's get on to the show here. So I'm gonna bring Bradley. Oh, I did it again. There you go. There's a holy crap moment for you. So I'm gonna bring out Bradford Torrey.
Bradford. I mean, I prefer Bradford over Bradley. I'm glad my parents picked that name, but it's the unusual one. So that happens a lot.
Well, I apologize. I mean, and I've known you for a while, so it's not like, you know, I'm an idiot. And well, you can still call me an idiot, but it's not like I don't know your name. Was it been 4 or 5 years I've known you now? Jeez.
Wow. It's crazy.
Yes, it is. So it's been a while. I saw you, a couple of months ago on the live show. And we were supposed to get together back at the beginning of the year. Stuff happened. So tell me what's been going on.
Yeah, no, just good to be on the show again. Like you said, I haven't been podcasting a lot, so be getting back into the swing of things here. But I've got some new build projects coming up, and I've been just servicing my core clients, and you know, just getting around.
So now are you building your computers, right?
No, I haven't personally assembled a computer.
Okay.
In years. If you're not getting like a Dell machine off the shelf, you're getting a Remus PC. Or you can go get your own computers. But I actually discourage most of my customers from just sourcing their own PCs. They make poor decisions.
Of course they do. Yeah, I don't, I really don't ever give them a choice. It's, here's my HP business model. Oh, you don't like that one? Well, here's the more expensive HP business model.
So. Yeah. Oh, I should have specified, when I say build, I mean like new building construction and new network installation.
Okay. Well, there you
Cable
go.
Cable installed, racks, you know, not building PCs.
Ah, so you're doing build outs with the customers and, doing all their infrastructure.
Yes, that's what I meant.
So are you doing the actual cabling yourself, or I thought you were outsourcing that?
I have a cool relationship with the AV guy for this one customer. And they always have one construction project in the works. So I don't really have to look for more build out jobs. They pretty much keep me in.
What are you working for, Starbucks?
I work for a restaurant group.
Okay.
Yes.
There
not
you go.
Not like as big as Starbucks, but the local, you know, the local guy.
Okay.
But so their AV guy does all of their cabling, security cameras, TVs, he does a lot of stuff, all their stereo stuff, any switching equipment that goes with that. So I usually will do the terminations. Is he does good work where he does good work. And one area that we both know he's not the best at is clean terminations.
Oh.
So I do all the patch panels. He brings the wires to me, and I terminate them at both ends and label them and make sure that they all work, certify everything. And then he does, you know, a lot of that. And then I do all the network.
All right. So I'm going to put you on the spot here. When you say certify, what are you using to test and certify your cable?
When I say certify, I am using that term a little loosely. I'm using the NetScout. So
which NetScout?
The cheap one was sorry, the Link Sprinter, not the NetScout.
Okay. All right. So you're verifying is what you're doing.
Yeah, I usually use a pinout tester to help find, like, make sure I'm on the right cable.
Right.
Which is a first level test. And then I'll get everything punched down, switched, and hooked up to, like, a network, and then go around and get internet certification, like an internet verification from the Link Sprinter.
You mean you get your email back from your Link Sprinter showing that you can.
Well, and the light, it lights up. I get an email.
You should upgrade to the Cable IQ.
I want to. I listened to your interviews with them, and I will be getting there. But
okay. Actually, I've got to do, you know, I have been okay. So I'm giving a little bit of foreshadowing, I guess it's whatever it is. So I am working on a testing, or no, what are we calling it? We're calling it, are you testing, verifying, or certifying? And basically what the difference is, because a lot of people will do what you did, where they'll say, I'm certifying the cables.
I actually never say that to a customer, and because I don't want to get, I don't know, I don't want to confuse anyone, although right. They don't know the difference. But
I'm testing the cables, just making sure they work.
Yeah.
That's it. Because somebody, and there was an email that I did not read on the air, where somebody was quite upset that the word certify was used when people are not really certifying cables, because, of course, depending on the state, depending on the code, there are very specific criteria on what certifies a cable. So
it's a good point.
But
it is a good point. And that was a slip.
But I'm
glad you called me on it, because I don't want people going like, ah, rah, rah.
I know. But it's like using router versus firewall versus UTM. I mean, we all, you know, interchange these things. You know,
yeah.
You know,
they're all routers. Like,
yeah,
they're mostly all firewalls of some level, and then there's just a couple UTMs. So,
all right. So let's see. So, you know, I want to keep the shows somewhat techie, and you and I always end up talking about Star Wars. So before we dive into that rabbit hole, why don't we try to talk some real tech and make sure that people, you know, all the non-Star Wars fans don't turn off the show right away. So what's been going on tech-wise besides the fact that you're building and testing cable?
Well, that's a big part. I do a lot of just coordination on projects. So if there's a webcam that's going to be a live stream of the beach for one of the bars down there that face the beach, and it's like, If you surf in Newport Beach, this place is a like 50-year-old legend bar that's been there forever. And you go to their website now, and there are two HD streams of the beach. And so you can check the surf and see how crowded it is, whatever. I didn't do almost anything on that project except for make sure that the network in the building was going to work for these two things. But I found all the solutions and then got the guy to do that part and the web guy to do that part, kind of was the middle manager. But I don't have a lot of, it's been pretty much like your standard, hey, can you help us create this email group? And, you know, those kind of things. But I do have one funny story that makes me look stupid. That happened last week. It was just like, what? Oh, so dumb. Anyway, okay. So customer complaint is, our cameras are working. They have a monitor in the office that's working. So the camera system is working, but we can't get it on our app on our phones. And it used to work. I know it worked because I had to help everyone set it up, because you can't remote into an iPhone. So you have, and then they can't follow directions. So you have to be there to do it.
Right.
So I know it worked, but I verify that it doesn't work. So I go in there and I remember when I'm looking at the router and there's no open ports that used to be open, that I had closed them for a PCI audit and forgot to reopen them again.
Okay.
So mistake number one. So I go in there, I'm like, oh, wow, yeah, I don't know what happened. And they knew what it was. So anyway, I reopened the ports. I put them in there because I'd had the notes of what I did before. And it's still not working. Oh. I try to test it with my phone and it's still not working. I'm like, what the heck? So I go, wait, did I do something wrong in the router? And I'm looking at it and go, no, those are the ports. And I look up my notes again and I go back to the DVR and make sure that the ports are still at the ones that I think that they are. And right. They are. All that's okay. Fine. Just, okay, weird. We're using Dyn DNS for, like, when you actually enter the IP, we use domain instead of an IP address, so that in case it changes and all that. Maybe my subscription lapsed and I didn't know about it. So I go and log into my account. No, it's good for 2 more years. What am I, not even close. And I check what the IP is of the site. I ping the Dyn DNS and I get that IP address as the resolve. So that's all working. What? I don't know what it is. And then I do a port test, like an external port scan. And the two ports that I need are stealth. I'm like, no, I opened those on the router. So I go and make sure that someone hasn't come, like maybe Time Warner or Spectrum came in and replaced the modem only with a router. And so now we've got like a double NAT. Nope, everything's exactly as I have in my notes and as I remember it. On and on, I'm checking everything I can think of. And then I go back into the router one more time after rebooting it twice because nothing else was working. Instead of 8,000, I had typed in 800 for the public port number in the router. So I just typoed it, missed a zero, and spent an hour trying to find it. Mm-hmm. And then it instantly started working again.
Wow.
What do you know? Data entry.
Well, I mean, come on. That's happened to everybody, so.
Sure. But it was funny.
So what did you build a customer?
Oh, I didn't build them for the whole time. I built them for the usual trip, and the amount of time that should have taken me to fix was about a half an hour. So
were they following you around, like trying to help you figure out what was wrong?
No, that particular location, the manager is he doesn't want to know anything like about what I do at all. You get that where people are curious. They mm-hmm. just want to know. They just want to kind of see like, oh, he went over and did that. Some of them want to learn so that they can do it themselves.
Of course.
Never works. He could care less. He just walks over and hands me his phone. And he's like, I took the password off so you can just, whatever. Let me know when it's good to go. And he went back to his job and I saw him when I was done.
That's the best kind of customer.
Yeah. And I was in a good mood when I was done with it because of that. He's just like, is it working? No? Okay, cool. Let me know when it is.
Yep. Send me a bill.
Yep. They paid the bill.
Love it. Love it. So when you were talking earlier about managing projects, so that's kind of what I do for my customers as well. And one of my customers is getting ready to move, but they don't consider it a real move because they're just moving down one floor. In their office building.
Yes.
So of course they're like, well, it's no big deal. We're just going down one floor. Not realizing that they've got a fiber connection and a broadband connected to SD-WAN. And we did not know if they needed to get a new fiber circuit or if we could just relocate what they had. So they did not tell me they were moving until a week ago.
Oh.
But they were all excited because they had given notice to the internet provider back on April 15th. So when I found out is when they were sending out their notice that we have a move-in date of June 28th. Will we be ready? And I was like, first of all, didn't know. Second of all, you're going to let me see the space? So this morning, I actually got to go out and see the new space. Now, granted, I found out last week, but I still couldn't get in because they had to arrange access through the building, and I had to get the internet service tech to come out because I knew that we were going to have issues because it's not just, you know, it's a branch office. So there's not a server on site, but there are, there's two phone PoE switches. I have another managed switch that I have for the rest of the equipment. We've got the two internet connections I spoke of. We got the SD-WAN connection. We've got a two post rack. We've got a, I mean, there's a lot of stuff, you know, for a branch office. So I get there.
How much downtime did they expect you to have?
So, so, which is ridiculous because they put the move date on a Friday. So I'm like, okay, so does that mean you want to move in the morning or are you going to move at night? Because the last time they did this to me, the movers couldn't even be in the building until 5 p.m. So that means that I have to do my stuff because we're actually disassembling the computers, assisting with packing them up. And then, you know, we pack them with the movers, but when the movers unpack them, we actually reassemble them and stuff like that. So in this situation, even though it's one floor, most likely what will happen is the movers will show up at 5, they'll pack everything, take it downstairs, unpack it, and then we can't do anything until Saturday morning. Although, yep. I'll probably still have to make sure that the internet and phones are working before we leave Friday night, so who knows. So I'm kind of figuring this out today, tomorrow, and the rest of the week. So I meet the internet guy there this morning, and he immediately tells me, oh, this circuit won't be able to be moved. You'll have to get new circuits. So what you're going to have to do is run a temporary line from this server room down to the other server room and blah, blah, blah. So we're doing all this. So I send the email to the firm administrator telling him this. And while I'm looking in the new suite, there's no cable anywhere. There's like nothing. And so part of me was like, oh, so they got the previous tenant to extract all the cable and everything going in is new. So I know the cable company that this client has used and I love them. They're great. So he sends me an email. Oh, we're not using them.
Oh, no.
So then I have to send him another email telling him what we're going to do. I asked him about the cables and tell him, you know, there's 37 locations. Will you be putting in dual drops? And I've got two wireless access points, so I need stuff in the ceiling. I need this. I need printers. And so he sends an email back, and I got it literally a few minutes before you and I got on the air that says, the cost for adding dual data was about twice the cost, so we're not doing dual drops. I authorize 40 drops. I'll do a count and make sure there is enough for two or three printers and the copier. I'll also talk to him about the cables for the WPAs, which were included in the quote. So I think we are fine.
So scary.
I just was like, are you kidding me? So they've got voice over IP phones. Now, this is a customer that has other locations and they know the trouble that they've had anytime, you know, they're piggybacking their computer through the network port on the phone. And the users always have issues because they try to undo the cables themselves and then they put the wrong cable in the wall and the wrong cable. And so I said, why don't you just do two cables? And he's like, well, it's just too much money. Needless to say, they're going to pay us every single time we have to go out and troubleshoot that stuff, let alone. So I told you that I had counted 37 spots. So the offices, cubicles, reception area, and they've got one spot dedicated for where the copier is going. So that's 37. They have the copier. They have two network printers. They've got two wireless access points.
Wait, you're already out. You're done. That's 41.
They're putting a TV in the conference room. They've got the conference room phone. And this, the way that they do the copiers here, they have their copiers connected to a tablet, which is connected to a network cable, and some other counter device for their copies and printing. So when they do stuff for customers, it's like a print audit type thing. That's also in a network cable. So now that's
three. Now you're planning to have like a little five or eight port switch
right.
Mm-hmm. In stupid places all around the office.
Though. Right.
It's going to happen.
There's a time clock that's got to be on the network. There's a postage machine that's going to be on the network. And that's all the stuff I can think of right now off the top of my head. So I get to have a nice little conversation tomorrow.
Yeah.
That's a joy. Oh, and they don't have dedicated electrical circuits in the server room.
I was amazed one time. I was doing it was a move, and they had done like a really beautiful remodel to this new location. It was like really nice space. They built the server room, like they like recut into this area and made a server room.
Right.
And we had coordinated everything about the cabling, but I never got to talk to the electrician, and things started moving really fast. And when I actually went into the server room for the first time, there was a single two outlet, just standard, I doubt dedicated circuit for everything that was going to go into a 6 foot tall rack. It actually worked, but I was like, you got to get this redone. What are you doing?
Reminds me. So the first experience I had with needing to tell a customer that they needed a dedicated circuit. So it was either 99 or 2000. And it was my first huge client. They were about 40, I think it was 40 to 45 workstations. They had a nice server room. We got to put in a server, you know, table rack. And I think they had three servers at the time. And I remember I was, for some reason, I had come into the office. Now, I probably had them as a client for maybe 6 months. I had put in the servers. We had redone their internet. They had DSL, I think. And we got them onto some T1 lines. So we were, you know, really upgrading their network. So the way that their office worked is you walked in, you walked past the receptionist, and you walked through the door to get into the office. And on the right started attorney's offices. On the left was a server room. And then you walked around the corner. And then the two partner offices were kind of, you know, like 20, 25 feet from the server room. And I'm standing in the hallway talking to one of the partners. And it was around lunchtime. So girls and, you know, guys are walking back and forth. They're doing stuff in the lunchroom. And I remember out of the blue, I just start hearing battery backups going off because I think this is when I had, you know, the individual, each server had its own battery backup.
Yeah.
And so I hear three battery backups going off at the same time. And I'm looking at the partner and he looks at me and he's like, dude, I don't think I've ever seen a black man go white before. And I literally run into the server room. I'm trying to figure out what in the world, because power had not gone off. The lights were still on. Everybody's stuff was on. So the one thing that I did not tell you, and I did it on purpose, was because the very first room before the server room was the kitchen/break room. They had decided to get two brand new supersized microwaves and put them on the same wall on the other side of the servers. And literally they were installed that day. And I just happened to be there. And as soon as they started microwaving, they popped the circuit.
Genius.
And I was like, these servers can't be attached to that kitchen ever. And so that was the first time I had to actually tell a customer, you will have dedicated circuits for the server room. They can never, ever be associated with anything else in your office.
I think it was about a month ago, I get a call from a customer and they said, you know, our cameras have been down for a while. And I'm like, and this is an office I go to all the time. And I'm like, what's a while? I'm like, oh, it's been almost a month. Well, why is this the first time hearing of it? We were busy or whatever. I'm like, okay. And I go in there. And so for a month, basically they get a lot of bad power to that building.
Mm-hmm.
It blew the battery, the UPS, but it didn't damage anything beyond that. So the UPS basically just took the hit and powered itself off completely. Not even the surge side was working. And they had run a little orange extension cord from another wall all the way around and plugged it into the backside of this like two sets of DVRs and a manager computer. And they've been living like that for a month. It was like literally coming out between the whoever was sitting at the desk's legs and up into this little closet. And they were like that for a month before they bothered to call me. Huh. So I was like, just put in a UPS right now. Why did you call me a month ago?
clients are lovely.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. All right. Any other stories or shall we commence?
I think we should transition into that conversation with the door-to-door and Jeff.
Oh, you heard that, did you?
Well, they mentioned me by name. The internet reached out and was like, hey, at least listen to that show.
Yeah.
And by the internet, I mean Marvin. But
yeah. Well, of course, I needed to know if you had heard that because of course we know which side you would have been on. Or actually, do I?
Because I don't know that you do.
I don't. So before he goes on, I basically need to let everybody know, because some people listen to shows out of order. Some people don't listen to all my shows. Some people click off if it's too long. But episode 209, I played a portion of the 24-hour live stream that Door-to-Door Geek held in support of Eric Ardini. It was called Help Eric Ardini Part 1, which basically was just an open forum to talk about whatever you wanted. And of course, Dor and Jeff thought it would be great to have this little Star Trek versus Star Wars debate with me. And yeah, that was fun. So you listen to it. So before we even talk about that, do you have a side or do you play both sides of the fence?
Well, I'm clearly more Star Wars than Star Trek, but I'm not anti-Star Trek. I watched all of the first generation when it came out.
The first generation?
I don't know. It was on reruns.
The Next Generation.
Did I say first generation?
Yes, you did.
I did. All right. Well, now we really know where I'm at.
There we go. Yep.
I don't even know the right name. No, Star Trek The Next Generation was on at like 4 p.m. on whatever local station when I was in junior high and high school. I think that's right. And so I would come home and like sit down and do homework or whatever, watch TV, and that show was on. So I watched a lot of that and I really liked it. And I like the newer movies too. I haven't really seen a lot of Star Trek, like a lot of the shows. But I don't dislike it. I really prefer, in all senses, I generally prefer watching a movie versus a TV series.
Okay.
I need like a 2 to 3 hour, 3 hours is pretty long. I need like a 2 hour wrap up of at least a segment of the story.
Mm-hmm.
I like the format better. So that's probably as much as anything why I've been into Star Wars and not into Star Trek. But it's not, I don't have a problem with Star Trek. I think it's good sci-fi.
Okay, but Star Trek has had out as many movies as Star Wars.
Yeah, I don't know why maybe because I never got invested into the shows for the most part.
Okay.
No, you know what? I have no idea. Now that you say that, I don't know why I haven't gone back and seen more of the movies.
Well, I can tell you one reason why. It's because they're not on every weekend like the Star Wars movies have been on for the last month and a half.
True, true. And my older cousins got me into Star Wars. Because, you know, when the first movie came out, I was negative two. So I wasn't going to watch any of those movies as a child as they were released. I had to be, you know, brought into the fold.
I'm not telling how old I was. So I'm sorry. I just, for some reason, the Star Trek Picard popped up, which is the newest series that is coming up, which I probably won't watch when it comes out because I'm so far behind because I didn't realize that there were other Star Trek series out there. We'll see how that goes. But let's get back to, so Star Wars. Now, luckily, these things have been on because even though you had given me access to watch the movies a while back, I watched Empire Strikes Back. I watched Return of the Jedi.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just say those are hard watches for me. I mean, I'm sorry, but Luke, oh my goodness. Luke is still a whiny little brat to me.
He absolutely is. It's not until, you know, well, Return of the Jedi, when he first appears, he does show up he's much more in command of the room and the situation, but he does end up getting kind of whiny in even every movie.
Yeah.
Especially when he's talking to his, you know, Yoda or Obi-Wan, he's just like, but why?
Yeah.
I want to go now.
Mm-hmm. And even when he meets Yoda, I mean, granted, he doesn't know he's meeting Yoda, but he's got that impetulance, like, I don't have time for this, you know, where he's trying to be forceful, but it's still more like, you know, mommy, I want to go now.
You know, yeah, it's a journey. It's about the journey.
Yeah, that's some journey.
He's got to get there.
That's some journey. Now, I will say, probably his best moment in the movie is when he and Han and Leia and Chewbacca I don't even know which vehicle they're in, when he's laying on the bed and they're having their normal jibber jabber conversation and Leia leans over to kiss him. I think she was arguing with Han about knowing what she wants in a man or something like that or whatever.
Yeah.
She leans
I'm
over.
I'm pretty sure you're talking about a scene where they're still in Hoth in the like cave.
Yeah. Okay.
Battle station. And they had Luke's recovering from being stuck out in the cold.
Right. That's it. Yes.
Yeah. My one line note for that scene was, Luke makes out with his sister again.
and is so proud.
Yeah.
I mean, that was, you know, granted, that was probably his most macho scene, in my opinion.
In this movie, probably, yeah.
Yes, because even when he's fighting, he's not macho.
No, because he's not fully trained. He doesn't know what he's doing, and he's fighting against, you know, in the scope of the story, the most powerful Jedi to ever live. So that's, right. Or now Sith. So what if you've read any of the novelizations?
I'm sorry.
Which I know you haven't. I'm just saying.
Read?
Read / sometimes also Audible. You know, some of the Star Wars stories. Luke passed that. Everyone was anticipating the next three movies because in those stories, he's really come into being. He's almost too stoic.
Mm-hmm.
He's become pretty distant from everybody because he's so stoic. But there's some great stories there. And then when Disney bought it and decided to keep making movies, they invalidated all of those stories and kind of killed it.
Okay. So technical wise, let me ask this. Why are they riding camels?
Oh, in the like a place that's so cold that anything alive would die?
Yes.
Well, they can only ride them during the day, you see.
Okay, well, it's still freaking cold.
Well, they're native.
What? Does the temperature drop 100 degrees at night? Is that what it was? Because that was never explained.
It doesn't make a lot of sense, because if planets that have very little atmosphere, like Mars, have radical temperature swings because there's nothing to blanket the temperature. But that planet obviously has a normal atmosphere. They're breathing without any, you know, air tanks, and there's water everywhere because there's snow. So I don't know. You just go with it because the Tauntauns are cool.
Well, listen, when I watch Matt Damon in Mars, is that what it was called?
Yeah. I know what movie you're talking about. It's recent. What the heck movie was that called?
Yeah, I listened to that Audible too. Is it Martian Man?
Yeah.
Or
the Martian?
Yeah, Martian. Yeah. I mean, he doesn't freeze when it's night. Well, maybe he does, but he's inside the thing.
In the story, in the book.
There's a book for that too?
Yeah, it's based on, and actually it's a pretty good adaptation of the book, but the book has obviously a lot more time for details. And he has to deal with temperature control the whole time. Okay. Like, they never shut up about it because it's important.
Oh, all right. I'm sorry. I'm never reading books like that. Just give me a good movie. All right. So they're riding camels that die at night when it freezes.
Mm-hmm.
But apparently, apparently they're still warm enough to slip one open and have a human survive. So I didn't understand that. And then the... What?
I was going to say just long enough for him to like set up a tent.
Okay. I didn't see a tent.
Yeah, he says he's got to build the habitat or something. I can't remember what he
called
it.
They never showed the habitat.
They do from a distance when they're picking them up.
Oh.
It's very small. And it's the same color as the snow.
Okay. So I probably dismissed that too. All right. So we got the camels. We got the, what are the walking mechanical camels called?
Oh, the AT-ATs?
Is that what they are?
The Empire's wet, like, tanks, basically, walking tanks.
Yeah, the land walker thingies that...
The AT-AT falls. There's two models. One of them's the... And people call them AT-ATs or AT-AT walkers. There's debate about that. It's almost as feverish as GIF versus JIF. And I don't care.
who would? Who should? Wow. Because those things, I mean, they're slow moving as heck. I mean, I just don't understand the tactical advantage of those things. And why couldn't the rebels figure out, like, I have to assume those things had been around for a while. And that the rebels had you attack them for a while. So why couldn't they figure out that if they, you know, run cable around the feet that they could, you know, make it fall over?
They're not very organized. You know, they're always having to move bases.
Okay.
I think they try to avoid land battles. They probably don't get into a lot of land battles with the Empire. So they don't have a lot of experience. Luke's like a child and he's leading, you know, a division or whatever you call it. It makes sense, but their armor and like some of the technical aspects of those don't make any sense either. Okay. Like, why can they shoot them when they're on the ground and they blow up? They can't shoot them when they're walking. And they say that armor's too strong. They don't say shield generators.
Right.
Which would then explain it. I'm sure that's how it is.
All right. Just a question I had.
Hey, I don't pretend that that any of this makes any sense. None of it makes sense.
Okay, here's the other thing that doesn't make sense. So Han Solo was supposed to be on his own. He never wanted to be tied to anything. But yet, when the movie starts, he is like helping Luke lead the charge. I thought dude would have left. And isn't this like a year or two after the New Hope movie?
Yeah. Han Solo has a past that actually the Solo movie didn't completely burn up all of the backstory of, you know, he's been trained in the Empire. He is like a guy, a man of action or whatever, but he just protects himself from getting pulled into these things where he actually is a good guy and wants to help out, but he puts that wall up. But then that wall got kind of taken down when he came back and helped Luke blow up the Death Star. And then he landed in Leia. I think he's in love with Leia.
Of course he is.
That's the biggest draw.
Okay, but that doesn't explain why they allow for him to rise in the ranks and be able to, you know, be out in front and in charge and, you know, having direct conversations with the generals. And
that's true. None of it. I mean, Luke's sort of. Do you think in today's military, like the one guy who gets the shot off that blows up the one thing is suddenly promoted to general? Like, why is Luke? Yes, Luke got off a good shot at the Death Star and ultimately blew it up. But that doesn't make him a leader.
No, that just, you know, made you the hero for that battle. And then maybe they'll listen to you on the next battle, but you're not general.
Yeah, but if they didn't.
Although in our world today, you could get off a good social media blast and be president. So,
see. Also, if they weren't in the room for all these conversations, then it would be a pretty boring movie.
Okay, it was boring, even with them doing all that. I probably shouldn't admit this, but the reason I had to keep watching because I kept falling asleep.
Well, Star Wars movies do start off. They might start off with an action sequence, but they usually start off with a lot of story building. But this movie in general.
You mean story deflecting? They weren't building that story.
But this movie is interesting that when you, if you break it down this way, when I was thinking about it, the first, A New Hope, there's almost no force. There's almost no telekinesis, almost no. He's got one time he does the Jedi mind trick, like Obi-Wan, and then one time there's a lightsaber battle. It's pretty absent of all the things that you associate with Star Wars. Yoda's not there. There's no Emperor.
Okay, so I'm going to take this. Okay, we're going to take a left turn because I got to get the continuity thing squared away. So when we're watching the other movies, and I don't. Forgive me if I get them out of order. So the one where
did you
Samuel freeze? L. Jackson, what?
Oh, you froze for a second.
Oh, I do that. So the one where Samuel L. Jackson is in it, which is, I don't remember which one that was, but the Jedi were like a big part, which of what was it? It wasn't called the Alliance. What was it called back then?
The Republic.
The Republic. So they were a big, huge part. So it's almost like by the time you get to The Empire Strikes Back, it was almost like the Jedi had been like this extinct species or something. Yes. So,
well, yeah, because in A New Hope, Obi-Wan tells Luke that that Vader hunted down and killed all the Jedi.
Oh, I forgot that.
Yeah, that's actually said in the movie, so that's okay. That's fine.
I must have went to get a drink or something.
And then when you look at the, you know, the prequels, you see more shiny ships. Mm-hmm. The cities are a lot more decadent, and there's like, it's a thriving, you know, republic. And then you come to the original trilogy, and it's dingy, and their ships are kind of beat up. Okay. And you're like, oh, well, because the Empire took over and they basically aren't.
Okay. Well, you know, that makes sense.
Under the Empire.
That makes you're sense. Like, okay. So that's why I wanted to get that continuity intact there, because it was almost like, you know, the Jedi was this lost culture that they were having to bring back.
For, yes. That quite literally is true.
For Luke and Leia. And speaking of, so I know I'm jumping ahead, because that's...
Oh, we haven't... We've been jumping all over the place.
Of course. Because that's probably the part I woke up when Luke fights Vader and gets his arm cut off and he's falling down the thing and ends up on the antenna array.
Oh, the very, like, basically the near very end of the movie.
Right, and he's like, you know, Ben, you know, and then he's like, Leia. Okay, so up until then, Leia never showed any powers of the Jedi or whatever, but yet Luke can call out to her and she can hear him.
Well, she didn't know, but he knows.
He didn't know about Leia having...
Well, he knows that she's his sister by that point. He had just recently learned about that.
I understand that, but that doesn't mean that she has powers. Does it?
It doesn't, but statistically, it's a very high chance that she has just as much force power as Luke.
Okay.
And that no one's just, like, isolated her for training. I don't know why they didn't do both. Why wouldn't you just do both?
I why wouldn't you?
If you thought Luke was too old, you're waiting for his twin sister to get 10 years older or what?
Because even in... Okay, I'm sorry. We're not doing movies in order anymore. So even in The Force Awakens, is that when she's the general? Is she the general? What is she? She's in charge of all the forces, right?
I don't know what her title is, but she's head of the Alliance.
I mean, she's still not using any powers except to know that, you know, when somebody dies or when somebody feels something. I mean, she doesn't do jack.
The novels, she becomes a Jedi.
Oh, the novels. So Disney ruined that too.
There's like 20 books where she's either training to be a Jedi or is a Jedi, and they have Jedi children. None of that's going to happen, except for Kylo Ren.
Yeah, the one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
But that's a made-up character. That's new.
That wasn't in the books?
Nope. None of that was in the books.
So I'm not stupid in all this. This stuff doesn't make sense because...
Yeah.
Because
some of it doesn't make sense. But him being able to call out to her and her being able to hear him doesn't not make sense to me.
Okay.
If she's even in touch with the Force at all and he's able to call out to her from a short... I mean, they're not very far away.
Well, that's true.
I don't know that she can call... She doesn't really call back.
She just says, we have to go back.
She just knows where he is all of a sudden because he sends his little distress beacon out in the Force.
Right. It's like the Find Me app on the iPhone where, you know, she knows exactly where to go.
Oh, I know what meme I'm going to make tomorrow.
Oh, man. So, I'll listen. I'm going to watch all the movies. I'm going to try, even if I have to watch them 4 and 5 times and try to wake up at the right place that I missed the previous time. But,
Well, watch the ones that I sent you because they're shorter.
Oh, well, but wait a minute now. I got somebody commented to me about the fact that...
Oh, I have a note in here about Doors' comment. Yeah.
Yes, because I didn't realize how different these theatrical releases were from not the director's cut, but what were the other?
Well, not to get crazy deep into that, because I could talk about that for a while, but the Star Wars was re-released in theaters about 3 times within like a 4-year period. So originally it wasn't called A New Hope. And it wasn't called Episode 4.
It was just Star Wars.
There's no reference to it. It's just Star Wars.
Right.
And then they re-released it again because people wanted to see it in the theaters. And then Empire comes out. And Empire always was Episode 5. Empire Strikes Back. And like at the beginning of the crawl.
Mm-hmm.
And then they re-released Star Wars in theaters one more time between Empire and Jedi. And that's when they changed. About the only thing they changed, I think, is that it says Episode 4, A New Hope, to give it continuity, like a number. And then they came out with Jedi. And then in 1997, apparently, there was a VHS box release of Special Edition. And that's when they started doing stupid stuff.
Is that when they changed the color of the lightsabers?
Yeah. And then they made the explosion effect of the Death Star digital instead of practical. They gave it more of a ring kind of a thing instead of just a, you know, some dynamite inside of a box that blew up. And, but they added stuff to the canteen, like the Tatooine scenes, more like digital creatures walking around and stuff. And then they did even more crazy stuff in the DVD releases later. Empire actually stayed mostly intact. Except for the Wampa. The Wampa is probably the biggest one.
Which Wampa thing?
The Wampa is the cave monster that attacks Luke in the beginning in the ice cave.
That was an added scene?
Well, no, that was always there, but it was a really bad puppet and they barely showed it because the puppet didn't work. Okay. They like had problems shooting it. And they said this, no one will officially say this, but it's rumored that that scene was added to explain why Luke's face looks different because he got into that car crash or a motorcycle crash in between movies.
Oh, where he had the scar that nobody explained where it came from.
Yeah, he had reconstructive surgery, so his actual facial features were different afterwards. Because he like smashed his face up good. So George Lucas denies it, but people have said like that were involved with the movie that a lot of that was added so Luke could look different because he got smashed in the face by a giant monster.
You mean a giant puppet?
Yeah. But in the later editions, they completely CGI the Wampa and they show him sitting there like eating and coming after Luke.
So which one did I terrible. Watch? Because the first time I watched it, you know, I never noticed a difference. So I must have watched the same one because I watched the
if
one.
You watched it.
I watched the I one on the Plex.
Mm-hmm.
But then on the what is it, TNT or whoever's been showing it for the last 5 weeks, I guess I haven't noticed a difference. So that must have been the one that they.
But they almost certainly would be showing the most recent edition.
Okay.
It's not, if you're not looking for it, if you haven't watched this movie 20 plus times all the way through, you know, and then see it a different way and realize like, wait, that's not.
So what I need to do though, so what I need to do is talk to you before I watch. So I know what I'm looking for.
Yeah, we could do that with Jedi. Cause I'm sure I haven't gone through the differences in Jedi, but I'm sure there are several.
All right. We'll make a list. Or you make a list and send it to me.
I'll make you a list.
And we'll do that. And that way, by the time we talk again, I will have rewatched it again. But you know what? I'm looking forward to, what's the one coming out this, there's one coming out November, right?
Yeah, it's either November or December. It's coming out later this year.
Yes, I saw the preview for it when I went to go watch John Wick 3.
Which I haven't seen yet, but I want to. I like that series.
Yeah, I won't do a spoiler. Like Adam Carpenter. Let's see. November. So. Oh, no. November is Terminator is coming out. Terminator Dark Fate. And I thought the Star Wars was coming out that one. Maybe it's December. I'm scrolling on Internet Movie Database in case people are... Yes, December 20th, Star Wars, Rise of the Skywalker. So...
I hate the title so much.
Okay, but that makes it number... So that makes it episode 9, right? 4, 5,
yes.
6, 1, 2, 3, Force Awakens, Last Jedi,
yeah.
And Rise of the Skywalker. Oh, crap. I got to see The Last Jedi before I see The Rise of the Skywalker.
Yeah, you do.
All right, we got to hurry up and get through these.
Yep.
Because, well, you know what? No, I'm not going to go see it in a theater.
What? There's movies you don't need to see in a theater, and then there's movies that you should.
You know, it used to be that I would only go to the theater once a year because, you know, in our homes, we have the theater experience we want. We've got the, you know, the big HD. Let's see, right now we got a 55, but probably gonna have to upgrade that to a 65. We've got the Bose sound bar. We've got all the food we want, comfortable seating.
Yep. The ability to pause if you have to go to the bathroom and not miss out on half the movie. Yep. I still very much appreciate the theater, and we probably go to it 4 movies a year, but except for when we had MoviePass, before MoviePass took a dump.
Yeah, well, that was a great
that
business
was awesome.
Model. It's a fantastic business model.
As I'm signing up, I'm just like, this is not going to last long. We better use this while we can.
That's right. So no, I pretty much would go to the movies for Bourne and Star Trek. Mm-hmm. And everything else we would wait to come out on DVD, back when you could get stuff on DVD. But now I just wait till it shows up on Hulu or Netflix or Amazon or Vudu. Because it's going to come out on one of those pretty quickly. Although the prices are jacked up now. I mean, when you can rent something for $19, that ain't right.
Yeah, and they like sometimes we'll have you can get the SD version for this much, and you can get the HD version for this much more.
Yes. Oh, yeah, yeah. Although there are times when you get them, you can't tell the difference.
I usually can't. I have a decent, you know, just standard HD 1080p TV. And these days, pretty much every streaming service, whatever they're showing, looks about as good as I can tell.
Right, because I actually did that once because we got the SD one time, and it was like $1 more. And I'm like, why didn't we just do that? And as we're watching, I think we had the two black bars, you know, at the top and bottom.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, oh, well, obviously we must get rid of the black bars. So we went to the HD, 2 black bars.
No, because, yeah, that's the format.
I was like,
they can't change the format. Got rid of the black bars, they'd have to cut off the sides. So you're not going to pay $1 more for less movie.
I was like, well, that sucks.
Yeah.
I just wasted that much plus $1.
If you're streaming, it's so much more important just to have a good connection so that the stream doesn't have to buffer.
Right. 'Cause
Netflix is really good about, they don't buffer, they just degrade the video until your internet catches up.
Right.
But if you have a good, solid internet and Wi-Fi, then, you know, it just stays clean.
You know, somebody should do a show about streaming services, because all the little nuances between all the services is, that's something I need to spend some time on. I mean, I subscribe to all of them, so I can probably figure it out myself, but we probably need to do a show on that.
Yeah. Do you have a live TV service, or do you just use cable?
What do you mean?
Or
I have
satellite?
Cable. I have cable.
Remember,
I'm Comcastic.
Right.
And we've got every freaking package you can get with Comcast. And then I still have, so I have Hulu, Netflix, Amazon Prime, which gives us the Amazon Video. We can still purchase through the Vudu. And, I do have Hulu Live.
So with Hulu Live, do you get to watch, like, a live baseball game?
Yes. Well, if it's on, so the one I'm on, for instance, I watch the NBA Finals. I'm watching, if I'm at the office, I'm watching it on the Hulu Live. So I got like, I don't know, there's like 60 channels on the live TV. So I get the, you know, ABC, CBS Sports, ESPN, CNN. I mean, I got all those, yeah.
We had YouTube's TV package, which was good.
Right.
But once, and like we watched the Olympics through that, which was pretty cool. And, but then my kids stopped using it because they just didn't need it.
Right.
And I noticed I was barely watching it. So we'd shut that off just because we just don't watch a lot of live TV. We have Netflix, Hulu, Amazon Prime, and then whatever movies we get, like we buy DVDs or whatever. So my kids still like to put DVDs in the thing, even though we have a Plex server. Mm-hmm. It's inexplicable to me.
Where are you getting the DVDs from? There is no more Blockbuster.
My kids are old. They get their Amazon, like they order it or something. I don't know.
Oh, okay.
I don't go to the store and buy them DVDs. If they want a DVD, they go buy it.
There's no Blockbuster, no Redbox, no whatever else those out there. I mean, I guess you can buy them at Walmart, right?
Yeah, we have Redbox.
You have a Redbox?
Is it gone? I don't know. Are they gone? I don't use it.
I haven't seen a Redbox in years. Of course, I don't go to the store.
Yeah, I was going to say, maybe I'm just not paying attention. And no, I don't. Anyway.
I don't know. If you can't order it off the TV or the tablet, what's it? I mean, does it really exist?
We like redid our living room, and so I moved my TV, and I didn't bother wiring it for cable. If I can't Chromecast it, I don't watch it.
Wait a minute, you Chromecast off your tablet to your TV, or off your notebook to your TV?
Yeah, or my phone.
What?
Mostly my phone.
Do you not have a smart TV?
A what?
A smart TV.
I don't have a smart TV because I don't like. The smarts being built into the more expensive part of the thing. If I can spend $35 and then just throw that away and get a new one every years.
So get a Roku.
I don't like Roku.
Really?
You know what I like about Chromecast versus Roku? Roku's cool. They have a lot of all the good apps are there, and the advantage is Amazon hates Google, so you cannot Chromecast Amazon Prime Video, but having the controls on your phone in your hand versus also remember I have 5 people watching TV, so Hulu keeps track of your watch history, and so does Netflix and like your preferences.
Oh, wow.
So whoever's holding the phone, it's streaming their account. So when they go to their phone and they're looking for something to watch, they don't have to be streaming, they don't have to dig through everybody else's garbage. They can just watch, like Netflix pops up. You want to watch what you were watching before? Yes.
Oh, I have no idea about that. All I know is I've got 3 Roku devices, and I've got an Amazon Fire Stick. Oh, and there's a Roku TV in the kitchen.
What?
Yeah.
I don't know what that is.
That's the TV with Roku built into the TV.
Oh, okay. Got it. Yeah. I didn't know that was, I haven't been paying attention, because once you get all invested in one or the other.
That's true. I mean, that's
typically don't.
I mean, I like the boxes. I don't know why. I just don't want to be streaming stuff. So listen, I know that I'm, the old get off my lawn guy, because I don't want to be doing stuff on my phone to watch stuff on my TV. I want them to be separate. Just like I really would like my phone to just be a phone and not have all the apps on my phone. That's what I got the tablet for.
But then, yes, get a tablet. Get like either a Chrome tablet or an iPad and have those apps and just have it be like your remote. But you just hit it. You tap it, you find what you watch, you hit cast, and then you set it down, and you don't have to touch it again for 2 hours.
Yeah, but if I want to look up stuff while I'm on the TV, like if I want to look up an actor on the Internet Movie Database and find out...
Stop you from doing that.
Well, if you're streaming and you go off screen...
That's not how Chromecast works.
Oh,
Chromecast is a handshake protocol. So, like, your tablet is telling that Chromecast to get this video and start playing it. And then we often do, like I'll start a video and then I leave with my phone in my pocket, the one that started the stream, and it doesn't interfere with the stream at all. It's like they don't care after the connection is made.
When you say leave, Like, are you leaving the house? And
yeah, going... like I get in my car and I go to the store.
And it's still casting.
Yes. And my phone has left the Wi-Fi network, so now my phone loses any connection to that Chromecast until I come back.
Oh, so you can't just like stop it, pause it, and play games with people like...
No, yeah, yeah. Once you've left the network, you can't screw with the people okay. like at home. But you can if you're there. There's really nothing that stops you from... Like, we have five Chromecasts in our house, and sisters do this all the time. They'll find a YouTube video that's funny and they'll like play it on their sister's TV when they know that they're in there trying to go to sleep or something.
Okay.
But that doesn't happen often enough for it to be a problem.
Okay. Really? Not every night?
No, it's like twice a year. It's not a big deal. But, yeah, but anyway, I'm not trying to sell you on Chromecast. If you already have Roku and you like Roku, or someone already has Apple TV and they like Apple TV, then cool.
I have a Chromecast somewhere. I just don't know where it is, because I think I got it when it first came out, and there wasn't when I set it up and I went to do stuff, I'm like, this is it. This is all I can do. Threw it in a drawer. But then I got Roku, and I was happy with Roku. But I don't do all the gadgety stuff that you guys do, you young kids do.
I wouldn't. Well, here's how I choose things like Chromecast, because it's the TV in the living room is being shared amongst, you know, my kids and stuff. So, and they're not really into techie stuff. Like, they don't want to futz with. They don't want smartwatches. They, you know. If their phone is a Snapchat machine, that's really all it is to them. So if I put something in place and then just kind of quickly show them how to use it and then never have to answer questions about it again, and they use it every day, that's the winner. So Chromecast went in place. Everybody figured out how to use it in like 5 minutes, and I've never had any,
all right.
like, to, I don't have to be the IT guy in my house when it comes to watching TV.
Okay, I don't either.
No.
Listen, my people know how to use the Roku remote control, and they know how to switch back to Comcast. That's all I need to show them.
We don't have to switch our TV, though.
Until they want to play a DVD, which we've got a DVD player attached as well.
Then we do have to switch the inputs. That's true.
Yeah.
But.
All right.
It's great.
So this would be...
Yeah, we talked about that for way too long.
Yeah, we did. But this would be a perfect time where if we were, you know, live and we had a little chat room, you know, we could have people like, how many of you are Roku and how many of you are Chromecast? And right now, I'd have to say, if you have any feedback on Roku versus Chromecast, email me, marvin@potnuts.com. And of course, nobody ever emails, so...
No,
which reminds
because
me.
By now, if they haven't stopped listening, they just sped up the audio.
And they blew right past it. So this is what I can do. This is how I can tell if anybody's listening. So I have, because I never gave away the last Amazon gift card that we had.
No.
So here's what we'll do to see if anybody's still listening. So if you send an email in to me with your vote on Roku, Chromecast, Amazon Fire Stick, is that what it's called?
Yep.
Apple TV. So what we'll do is everybody send in an email. It's got to be an email, because don't message me on the Facebook or Twitter. Send in the email. I will physically print out. No, I got to come up with someone. But we'll figure out a way that we will pick a random person out of everybody who sends in back, and I will provide you a $50 Amazon gift card. How does that sound?
Now we'll know who listened.
We will know who listened. And once I figure out who's going to sponsor the gift card, I will let you know. Because that's not coming out of my pocket, but... So $50 Amazon gift card. If you are still listening to the show, send in your vote. Roku, Apple TV, Chromecast, Fire Stick, or whatever else you want to do. I want to see how many people actually are still listening more than an hour and 10 minutes into the show. This will be a great little test. All right, Brad, so let's go ahead and end off there. And we will touch base again. And you will send me a list of things to look out for in Return of the Jedi.
Yeah. And then we'll schedule that.
And we will schedule that. All right. So, folks, if you're still here, I want to thank you for listening, downloading, and subscribing to the show. We've just had an enjoyable time with Bradford Torrey from TTCS Computer Services out there in the lovely Costa Mesa, California. Be sure to tell all your friends to listen to the show. And at some point, we will have a Star Trek versus Star Wars show, and it'll be fantastic. All right? I do want to thank everybody for donating to the Eric Ardini GoFundMe page. I also want to thank people for going to the Amazon link and supporting Podnuts Pro. I can tell you that in the last 30 days, people have actually gone and ordered, and I'll tell you exactly, $939 worth of items from Amazon that were attributed back to Podnuts Pro. That's not how much money I got, folks. It's like 1% of that. So don't think I'm making, you know, raking cake here. But I do want to thank you guys for doing that. Send in your email suggestions, tips, show questions to Marvin at Podnuts Pro. Send in your vote, Roku, Apple TV, Chromecast, Fire Stick, Marvin at Podnuts.com. Follow us on the Twitter at Podnuts Pro. And be sure to call Freedom Voice if you are looking for a voiceover IP provider. And they will help you with their partner program, 877-7-GO-NUTS. That's 877-746-6889. Brad, anything you want to say to your adoring fans before we sign off here?
I don't know if I have any adoring fans, but... did have a good time on the show, and looking forward to another one. And I'll probably see people on the computer repair show as well.
All right. And that's going to do it for us, folks. So be listening, send in your email, and I will chat with you again soon here on Podnuts Pro. And until next time, holla.